Oh, okay. So let's recall from last time that if U1, U2, UN are vectors in Rn, say, so I have UM vectors in n-dimensional numerical space Rn. So here it's already stated that the recording has started. So in Rn, then the span of these vectors, by definition, is the set of all linear combinations S1 U1 plus S2 U2 plus plus SM UN, where the scalars S1 through SM are arbitrary. So if you take a particular linear combination, so S1 U1 plus SM UM is what we call a linear combination, of the vectors U1 through UM. Let's just give some, yes? Oh, this is green. Okay. Thank you. You don't like green? Green's good. Oh, you can't see it as well. Right? Okay. Yes. Question? Okay. What is the question? What is the span exactly mean? This is what I'm going to do now and illustrate it with some examples. Okay? So let's give some examples. Well, first of all, let's take the case where you just have one vector. So let's look at the span, say, of a single vector. Let's make it quite explicit, say 1, 2, 3. We're taking the span of a single vector. Now, what is that? Well, here you have a vector in R3. Now, the way you have to visualize this, you visualize the vector as issuing from the origin. So basically, you should think of it that way. So here's your vector sticking out. And what you're doing, that's a single vector. Now, the span of that vector consists of all the scalar multiples of that vector. So it looks like this, S, then 1, 2, 3, where S is an arbitrary scalar. So this, then, by the definition of multiplication by scalar, it consists of all the vectors of the form S, 2S, 3S, where S is an arbitrary scalar. So what is that? In terms of the line, and in terms of the vector, now you're taking all the multiples of that vector. Okay, so what you're tracing out as you vary S, you're taking all the scalar multiples of that vector, and what you're tracing out is a line through the origin. So the span of a single vector in this case is a line. In this case, in three dimensions. If you had a four-dimensional vector, it would still be called a line in four dimensions instead of all scalar multiples of a single vector. It's a line. Okay. Let's look at the case if you have the span of two vectors. So let's add an additional vector here. Let's take the span of 1, 2, 3 and add another vector to that spanning set. Say 1, 2, 3, and then we'll add to this the vector, say 1, and then we're going, this is 1. Well, actually, in this case, it should be, it looks like I'm going actually backwards in x, so maybe I should have put the way it's looking here in the diagram, I've gone backwards, so I should maybe put minus 1 here, just to make it look more realistic, okay? Because it looks in the diagram like I'm in the x direction, I'm going this way, y direction this way, just to make it more realistic in terms of the picture. And now let me just put in the span of 1, say, and now I'm going to go again, 1 unit in this direction, and then I can go to, say 2 and to 4, for example. Let's take the span of those two vectors. Now in this case, if each individual vector, if I took the span of each individual vector, I get a line. So, for example, the span of the first vector was just this line. if I took all the scalar multiples of 1, 2, 4, I would get this line. But now this, when I have two things together, I'm taking all the things that are linear combination of those two vectors. So for example, if I go so many units in this direction followed by so many units in this direction, I'm going to get a vector in the span. But if you look at it carefully, what you're doing is you're just looking, tracing out the vectors which lie in the plane containing the two lines, which consists of the scalar multiples of the two individual vectors in the spanning set. So if you do that way, then what you're getting here, this is the set, that's the geometrical picture. Now let's look at algebraically. This is the set of all vectors of the form S into minus 1, 2, 3, plus T into 1, 2, 4. Now where S and T are arbitrary scalars. And so you can rewrite this as, well, we know that. That's the parametric equations, basically, of a plane. So let's just rewrite that in this way, if you like. It's minus S. Well, if I add them all together, let's just add them all together. Just do that linear combination. So it's minus S plus T is the first component. The second component would be 2S plus 2T. And the third component would be 3S plus 4T, where S and T are arbitrary scalars. So the vector, say, an arbitrary vector, x1, x2, x3, lies in the span of those two vectors that are given, minus 1, 2, 3, plus 1, 2, 4, if and only if x1 then has to be of the form minus s plus t, x2 has to be of the form 2s plus 3 plus 2t, and x3 is of the form 2s plus 4t. So in these here, where s and t are arbitrary scalars. So what these are the parametric equations. Yeah? What? Pardon me? Oh, sorry, thank you. 3s, I made a mistake. So it's x3 is 3s. Yeah. 3s plus 4t. And these are the parametric equations of a plane. Of a plane in R3 going through the origin. You'll probably hear all this bang, bang, bang on the mic. It's pretty sensitive. I'll have to get a mic that pins on here. Okay. Did everybody see that now? Visualize that a little bit better about the span? How that does? If you have just two vectors, these are just two vectors, then you can consist of all scalar multiples, basically. Then you take the line joining two vectors, and then you fill in everything in between. So you just span this like a fan. Okay? Take the vectors and the span. This should be called the fan. Yeah. It's the span of that. Now, in higher dimensions, it's a little bit more complicated. The fan has many more things, and it can go off in different directions. So you get a rather big, huge thing. So the span, you should have a picture. The best way of looking at the span is from three dimensions. If you can visualize it here, then you have some kind of hope of putting some mental picture of it, at least in R3, which is the best we can do. But then that should serve as an idea of how to actually work with the more complicated objects. We work by analogy. Okay, I want to look at this problem from a different point of view. Well, we already know that plane has another equation. It has a normal equation. And how do you get that normal equation from the data here? Yeah, you take the normal to the plane is the cross product of the two directions of the two lines, and then you just have a point. You know, you take one of the two points that is given to you, and that'll be a homogeneous equation, right? Because it's going through the origin. Okay, let me give another way of actually deriving that equation. which will at the same time illustrate the types of problems that we want. So for example, here, let's give another problem. Determine whether or not R3 is the span of, well, let's just take these two vectors. We know the answer already, it's not, but let's just go through the exercise. -1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4. Let's take this, well, I shouldn't have curly brackets, so these are round brackets. Okay. So, well, we already know the answer. It can't be, because R3 consists of all triples, whereas the span of these two is just a plane. It's a subset of R3. But in general, if I give you some vectors in R3 even, or in higher dimensional space, it's not always so obvious to answer the question. But let me give you a way of deciding the question, and in a way that will actually pick out exactly those vectors which are in the span. So let's just do it this way. So if I just had this problem, then I want to determine which vectors x1, x2, x3 is in the span. So for example, if I were to try to prove that R3 was a span, I'd have to show that any vector x1, x2, x3 was a linear combination of those vectors. But I can't prove it for each individual one. If they prove it for this one, you prove it for this one, you want an argument that'll work for all. So you can't assume, if you want to decide this question, it may have answer yes or no. You don't know beforehand which are, which aren't, maybe all are. Then you have to explicitly write down a variable vector, which is a candidate for being in the span. So we know what it means for our vector in R3, say x1, x2, to be in the span. And namely, it must be a linear combination. This is, again, the definition. So always, all these problems, they start from the definition. To do them, you have to know what the span means. So otherwise, you can't start the problem.
No, I'm on another page.
Okay. So x1, x2, x3 in the span, if and only if x1, x2, x3 is equal to, say, s into -1, 2, 3 plus t into, what was it, 1, 2, and 4. Okay. So that's how you would start the problem. You determine the spanning set, determine the vectors which are spanned by a given set of vectors. Well, you just take a vector, you don't know, an arbitrary vector, and you just write down the condition for it to be in the span. Now, this translates right away into a system of equations. So let's write down the system of equations. Well, I'll write it this way. Minus s plus t equals x1. And then I'm going to have 2s plus 2t equals x2. And then I'm going to have 3s plus 4t equals x3. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm given a vector x1, x2, x3, and the problem is to determine whether or not it lies in the span. So now you have to interpret the x1, x2, x3 as given vectors. They're in an envelope. Somebody gets to prove this is in the span or not. So it's in an envelope. I don't know. I will be able to, in a minute, you'll see, well, we know that there's an equation. You're going to see some equation, some condition. Either there's no condition on the x's, in which case everything works, or there's some condition, in which case some do, some don't. We already know some do, some don't. And we know the condition, that's a normal equation. So let's just do it by Gaussian elimination. Gaussian elimination tells you exactly how to find all the solutions of a system, in particular if it has any at all. So here, x1, x2, x3, if it's 0, clearly you can take 0, 0 as a solution, but x1, x2 is quite arbitrary. So this is, in general, a non-homogeneous system of equations. So let's apply Gaussian elimination. I won't go to matrix form. Let me just, it's so simple, let me just do it with E. So I'll, minus S plus T equals X1. Now let me add to equation 1 to equation 2. And so I'm going to get, the S will disappear, and I'm going to get 4T equals x2 plus 2t, 2x1, sorry, right? If I add twice equation 1 to equation 2, I'm going to get 4t equals x2 plus 2x1. Everyone agree with that? Okay. And now I'm going to get rid of the 3 in the last equation. So this is really, this is equation equation 2 plus 2 equation 1. And now I'm going to add the third, 3 times the first equation to the third. And that's going to give me 7t is equal to, that right? 7t equals x3 plus, plus 3x1. Because 3t plus 4t is 7t. And then the s's drop out. So this is equation 3, which I added 3 equation 1. Okay, now let me just divide the last two equations by 1. The last two equations by respectively 4 and 7 to clear them out. Or I could have just, so let's just do that. It's minus s plus t equals x1. Let's divide the second equation by 4. You're going to get t equals to 1 half x1 plus 1 quarter x2. And then let me divide the second equation by, so that's the 1 quarter equation 2. Let me divide the, well, I could do it another way. So let me divide it by 7. So t is going to be 3 sevenths x1 plus 1 seventh x3. So this is 1 seventh equation 3. And now let's just do one more to get what we want. Minus, I'm bringing it to echelon form, the system. So t is then going to be 1 half x1 plus 1 quarter x2. Now I'm going to subtract equation 3, equation 2 from equation 3. So I'm going to get 0 here is equal to, now this is where the mathematics get hard. 3 sevenths minus a half is what? So that's common denominator 14, so that's 6 minus 6 minus 7 minus 1 14th x1, and then minus a quarter x2, right, and then plus 1 seventh x3. So in other words, I took equation 3 minus equation 2. Okay, now we have, you see, we have now a system. Yeah. Here? Okay. Is that okay now? Minus 1 over 14. And then I'm just subtracting minus a quarter x2 plus the seventh x3. So there now you see what, now this is a system of equations. I can solve for S and T providing what? Providing the system is consistent. And now that last equation of the form 0 equals a linear combination of the x1, x2, x3. And there's my condition. So this has a solution. For S, T, if and only if you have this condition, minus 1 over 14 x1 minus 1 quarter x2 plus 1 seventh x3 is equal to 0. And that's the normal equation of the plane. You can fix it up by multiplying by a constant, but that's the normal equation of the plane, so the normal equation of the plane. Okay, well, now it's given in normal form. Let's just go. So that's the condition. What is the answer to the problem? Remember, I forgot the question. What's the answer? The answer, therefore, is no. Okay. Okay, so in particular, I would just take any, in particular, so the, so therefore, since this is not, therefore, the answer to the question, to problem, is no. The given vectors don't span. Well, here's a corpus delecti. I have to give an example. I mean, okay. Well, since, well, give me a vector that's not there. Any, give me a vector that's not in the span. In, pardon? Well, yeah. Or even simpler, 1, 0, 0, 0 is there. 1, 0, 0 is not. So that's one way. That's okay. So that's why the normal equation. It's easy to find things which don't. You just have to the span of those two vectors. Okay.
Is there any questions about that?
Okay. Let's know. Okay. So that's the span. I could actually find a generating set for this particular problem if I were to multiply this equation by. Oh, the numbers get big. Well, let's just do it. If I were, I mean, let's just multiply this equation I don't have to get rid of the scalars, I guess. So in other words, I could solve the original. Let's get another spanning set using the normal. Now this is an aside. I'm done with the question. Using the normal equation, you can find a spanning set as follows. Namely, you solve for, in this case, you see from that single equation, I can solve for x1 in terms of x2 and x3. So that means that the x2 and x3 are free variables that I can assign anything I like. So that equation has 2 degrees of freedom for the solutions. So that means there's 2 parameters. And if I assign those variables, say 1, 0, 0, 1, that will get a solution. I will get solutions for that, and those solutions will span. So let's just verify that as follows. So I'm going to solve for x1 in terms of the other. So I have x1 is equal to 14. Let me do this. So I'm going to bring this to the other side. So x1 is equal to 14 over 4, or minus 14 over 4x2 plus 14 over 7x3. Okay, so I'm just transporting the minus 1 over 14x1 to the other side, and so that I have, and then I multiply by 14, or so which is the same thing as minus 7 halves x2 plus 2x3. So now you see this is actually Gaussian elimination solved for a single equation. So now I can see, now therefore the solution set, so in this case if we let, say, x2 equals, well, you may not want to use the same parameters, so let me call them, say, t1 and say x3 equals t2, arbitrary, I can set them arbitrary scalars, then x3, okay, I hope you remember this one. Then x3 is going to be equal to minus, what was it? Minus 7 over halves t1 plus 2t2. Okay. So the solution set Let me go up here. It's not going up. Oh, okay. Oh, it's page 2. Okay, always. Okay. So, x2 and x3. So, x2 is t1, and x3 is t2. So, this should be minus 7 halves t1 plus 2. Oh, thank you. Right. Sorry. So it's x1 I'm solving for. So x1 is once I so x1 is basically a function of two variables in this way of x2 and x3. So in other words, so the solution set is equal to the set of all things of the form minus 7 halves t1 plus t2, and then I have t1 and t2. T1 and t2 arbitrary scalars. So I have, again, a parametric description of my solution set. Okay? And it's actually going to be different than the parametric description I got before. So let's just check this out. This is going to be, this part here is, I can get that by setting, if I write this way, minus 7 halves 1, 0 times t1, I'm getting plus, I can rewrite t2 into 1, 0, 1. Okay. Right? T1 and T2. Plus, there's one T1. Oh, I see. Right. No, T1, you have a T1 in here, and then you have a T1 there, and then you have no T1 in the third. Oh, this is a 2 here. Okay, 2. So in the first, the coefficient, so in other words, you just check it out. Just let's do the addition. It's minus 7 halves T1 plus T2, correct? And then you have T1 plus 0 T2, which is T1. And then you have 0 T1 plus 2. Oh, that's why. Plus. Don't I have them all now? Here I have it.
What is wrong here? Sorry. That's yeah, 2T2.
Oh, okay. I got the wrong one. Thank you very much. Okay, minus 7 halves T1 plus 2T2. Okay. And then this is one, right? And now it's one. Right. Okay, now we have it. You're always going to have components 1, 0, and 0, 1 in the columns corresponding to the independent variables, which are x2 and x3. So you see, then this is, so therefore the solution set. Now you can see how the first, let's call this thing here, let's call this u, and let's call this vector v. So from this, we see from this right here that the span of u and v is again the same thing as, so in other words, here we see the span of the given two vectors, minus 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 4, is the same as the span of minus 7 halves, 1, 0, and the other vector, 2, 0, 1.
So a plane can be spanned in many ways. I mean, you can take any two non-collinear vectors in the plane, and then you're going to get a spanning set. Actually, any two. And that two is, well, we'll come to that point. Two is the dimension. The number of degrees of freedom is two. The plane, it's two. It's the number of things which this is actually the smallest spanning set. These are things we're going to do a little bit later, but this is a minimal spanning set. That's what we were going to call the dimension. Okay, so in this particular case, you can see u corresponds to the parameter value t1 equals 1 and t2 equals 0, and v corresponds to the parameter values t1 equals 0, t2 equals to 1. That's how you get them. Now, this works for any system of equations, any homogeneous system of equations. You can do the same thing. When you solve it, I'll give another example. When you solve it, let's do another example of that. Let's do it in a minute. I'll just go on with the next thing, namely that of a subspace. Next thing we do, is that okay with everybody now? How to test whether a given vector is in the span, what the span looks like, at least I have a better idea of what it looks like. It's a geometric object that's, you can't see it from looking at the vectors. The vectors just tell you, their instructions, how to get to any point in that spanning set. That's how you view them. So when you're in spanning set, you go off to some location. Those vectors, when you get there, tells you, say, the origin is always there. So for example, at the origin, it tells you how to get to any place by just taking linear combinations of these direction vectors. So that's the spanning set. So it can get quite complicated. Okay, so on the assignment, on the web work assignment, you'll have problems of that type. Determine whether or not some vectors span, writing vectors as linear combinations. And they're all done by linear equations. There are some shortcuts, as I'll point out a little bit later, but you at least you have a brute force way of tackling the problem. Now, next thing was the idea of a subspace. The span of a set of vectors, U1, U2, UM, has the following properties. And I ask you to do this as an exercise. Let me just do it here. One is that the zero vector, let's call this spanning set S, zero vector is in there. And that's true because zero, you can always write it as zero times U1 plus zero times U2 plus zero times UM. Now notice the double use of zero. And I've stopped. If you like, if you want to put in your mind that one is a scalar, one is a vector, you can put arrows over it. So if you have that problem of knowing when a vector is, when zero is a vector and when zero is a scalar, you can do that. Yeah.
I have a question about
it. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Well, that's where the equation came in, you see. Okay, good question. Oh, it was on page 3. Is it the previous page? Okay. So there, you see that condition is a necessary and sufficient condition for membership in the spanning set. Okay, it's like it's a condition. It's a membership card. Okay, if you have that card, you're in the club. You're in the span. If you don't have that card, you're not in the club. So all I got, there's a lot of members in that club. To prove that a particular person is not in the club, all I have to do is check his ID. In this case, the ID would be a triple of numbers, x1, x2, x3. So if I want to produce somebody not in the club, I just have to pick. I say, not everybody is in the club. This is a clique. This is not free for everybody. So to prove that that's the case, all I have to do is exhibit one. The span is there. There it is. Here. I say, you're not in the span. Why? Because, well, you don't have the right membership card. Say you're, for example, supposing you're 1000. I claim you're not in the club, right? Because you don't satisfy the equation. But I could easily have picked 010 and test 010, the left hand side. That gives me minus a quarter. That's not zero. So therefore, 010 is not in the span. Yeah, the answer is yes or no, and that requires justification. Yes or no, that R3 is the span. So here was the original question, was, sometimes if the question gets so horribly complicated or Is it that? Yeah, page is page one. Yeah. Okay. So there's the question: determine whether or not R3 is the span of these two vectors. That demands a yes or a no, but that's not enough. You have to justify it. You can't say somebody's dead or he's dead. You have to produce the corpse. Say, I don't believe you. So, okay, it's not enough. And of course, you have to justify. When you're asked yes or no question, yes, you can say yes, you can say no, but you will get no points. You have to justify. And this, the case of the justification is, R3 is not the span, because I'm going to exhibit for you a vector which is not in that, not a linear combination of those vectors. The way I did it here is by doing it this way. So if you give me a particular vector for 1, 2, 3, I can then, I'll get a system of equations which will tell me whether or not that vector, for example, if I had 1, 0, 0, a specific question whether or not that was in the span, you could say whether or not it was by doing the same process, and I would get the answer no, because I would get an inconsistent system of equations. Okay? Yeah, you're always spanning in a given vector space. Yeah, the vectors are vectors in some space. In this case, the space is R3. No, no. The space, the span is in three dimensions. That we're in this room. She's in this room. This room exists. The span exists. It's this plane. This span is a subset of this room, this plane, R3. She's a point in there, and I'm asking, is she in this span? You see the three objects? You have the span, which is a definite subset of R3. And the question is that subset not all of R3? Well, obviously not, but intuitively. But I have to prove that algebraically. And the way you prove it algebraically is I get an equation for the span, in this case. Maybe yes, maybe no. From intuitive, at least R3, I need at least three vectors, right? Right, I need at least three vectors to get all of R3. In particular, for example, R3 is the span, for example, let's just do that example. R3 is the span. Can you give me a spanning set for R3? Well, let me do that in a minute. I'll do that in a minute. Let me just get R3, for example, you can take 1, 0, 0, and 0, 1, 0, and 0, 0, 1. Those are the standard coordinates of the unit vectors along the x, y, and z axis. Clearly, they span, right? Because using those three instructions, go so many units in this direction, so many in this, then you can get to any point. So we get, make sure you have all the, at the end, this question was kind of contorted in the sense that the question maybe involved a lot of things, and you may forget, oh, what am I doing here? I have to go back to, what am I trying to answer? And this answer was whether or not this particular subset of R3 was in fact all of R3. And more generally, when you do more examples, if I give you more vectors, it may not be so easy. In this case, if I give you two, yes, you say it's going to be yes. But if I gave you three, then clear it, maybe yes, maybe no. For example, I could have given you a third vector, which is the sum of the first two. So that case, you certainly would have not, it would have been, again, an answer no. But to give an answer no, you have to give a justification. No. Why? Prove it's not a linear combination. To prove it's not a linear combination, you have to show a system of equation doesn't have a solution. All right? So that's, but in this particular case, I didn't ask for any particular individual. I was asking a question whether R3 was the span. So I took a general x1, x2, x3, and tried to determine when does this vector lie in the span, and that's where I got this condition for membership in the span. And then to produce somebody that's not in the span, all I have to do is produce x1, x2, x3 that doesn't satisfy the equation. Here's somebody not in the span, so therefore the span is not everything, not my whole space, in this case R3. Okay, is that clear? These are important things. It's going to get complicated later. Okay, here, if you like, this is the, just to remind you, that's the zero vector. In mathematics, we use zero a lot, but you can see what it is from the context. You see on the left-hand side, U1, U2, your right-hand side, U1, U2, U3 are vectors. And I can multiply a scalar times a vector. So these are vectors. Putting them is just a crutch, just to remind me that they're vectors. Not really important, except for that. But now what multiplies them is, well, you could say it's a dot product, but no, it's not. It's just, okay. And I mean a linear combination. When I take a linear combination, so the context may be still ambiguous. You have to be careful when you write things down. Sometimes, though, the mathematics of symbolism gets so cumbersome, then it becomes just a burden. So you try to pare it down so that it's still legible, and you can figure out what the meaning of the various symbols here. So in this case, this zero must be the zero vector, because the things on the right-hand side are vectors, and you add vectors, you get vectors. Okay. So the multiple. So this thing here, that's the zero scalar. Okay. Same thing here, and that's the zero scalar. When I multiply zero scalar by a vector, so now that I get the zero vector. So that's zero vectors, and the second, the last condition is that if I take vectors U and V belong to S and A and B scalars, this implies that the linear combination of these two vectors, AU plus BV, is again in S. So that's kind of a condition of flatness, if you like. For any two vectors in that set, it contains the whole plane containing them. So your set can't be, try to visualize, can't be curved, because it's going to contain the span of any two vectors in it. So it's going to have to be flat in some sense. Sometimes they're called flats in books, but it's a subspace. So this, and then let's just show, well, one we've done, let's show the thing. So for example, if U equals to, S1 U1 plus S2 U2, let's just do it, plus SM UM, and then if I supposing V is, say, T1 U1 plus T2 U2 plus TM UM, where the TI and SI are scalars, then I want to show, let me take two vectors in S. These are in S. And let me now multiply AU plus BV and see if I get, again, a linear combination of the initial vectors U1 through U2. And that will prove that, in fact, the linear combination. So if I do this, and you can do this almost in your head. So if I take AU plus BV, it's going to be a linear combination of U1. In fact, the coefficient of U1 is going to be AS1. And the coefficient of U1 coming from the second one is going to be a BT1 U1. Right? In other words, I take A times U. If I take A times U, I'm going to multiply all the S's by A. And if I take the second one, I multiply all the entries, the T's, by B. And then I'm going to add those two, and I look at corresponding coefficients of UI, and it's going to be just the sum A1 U1, A1 S1 plus AS1 plus BT1. That's the coefficient of U1. And in general, the coefficient of UM is going to be ASM plus BTM UM. And of course, this belongs to S, because what does it mean to belong to S? S consists precisely, it consists precisely of all linear combinations of the given set of vectors. Okay, so the span of a given set of vectors is a subspace of R3, of Rm in this case. We're working, this is a span. So the span is sometimes called a subspace the subspace spanned or generated by the vectors U1, UM. And the set is called a spanning set. This set of vectors, just the set, this is M vectors, is called the spanning set, or generating set. That's just the terminology. Now, there's another important example of a subspace, which we just actually encountered. Namely, the solution sets of homogeneous systems of equations. So another important example, for us, of a subspace is the solution set of a system of homogeneous equations. Why? Because let's just do this. For example, if you have a system a11x1 plus say a1nxn is equal to 0, pardon? Too fast. Oops. Please. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to write down a system of the general system, general homogeneous system of equations, and show you that linear combinations of solutions of that are solutions. That doesn't work for non-homogeneous equations. Clearly, a non-homogeneous set of equations can't be a subspace because it doesn't go through the origin. But any homogeneous system of equations represents some kind of the solution set represents actually is an example of a subspace. It's flat in the sense it contains the linear combinations of solutions are also. Is that okay now? So if I take the general say a m whoops. So I'm taking a system of n equations and I'll take m unknowns in this case. So a m1 x1 plus a m n x n equals 0. This is a homogeneous system of m equations in n unknowns. Now the S, let's call S the solution set. Now that, where is that set? Where does it lie? Where does that set lie? First of all, what is a solution? Pardon? What do they look like? What is the solution of this system? What does it look like? Well, a solution is what? It's a set of all. What is a general solution? Don't give me a particular one. You can't. But except 0, 0, 0 is a solution. That's a particular. But what is 0, 0, 0, for example? It's a vector in. But it's a. Where does it lie? Where does it lie? I'm trying to get situate the problem. Yeah, but where does it lie? In Rn, that's what I'm trying to get at. We're lying now in Rn, so it's a subset of Rn. So the solution set is a subset of Rn. Okay. Because the solutions are n-tuples of numbers. Okay. In particular, e.g., 0, 0, 0, 0 belongs to S. Why? Because it's a homogeneous system of equations. So we already proved the first condition for subspace. So supposing we want to prove, so suppose that say x1, xn is an S, and let's say y1, yn belongs to S. We have to show, that the linear combination of those two things, a x1, xn plus b, y1, yn belongs to S. Okay, how do I do that? Well, here, what does this thing look like? This thing looks like ax1 plus by1. That's the first component of that number, of that vector. And then axn plus byn. So that with the left-hand side. So I'm looking now. I know that x1 through xn will satisfy that system of equations above. I know that if I substitute for the x1 through xn, y1 through yn, again, all of those equations will be satisfied. What I have to show is that this vector, which is obtained from those two solutions, x1 through xn, y1 through yn by taking linear combination is, again, a solution. In other words, I have to show that each of these equations is satisfied. So let's just do that and see how that actually works. So in this particular case, if I take the ith equation, and then I substitute in there this thing, plus by1. Now what I'm doing is I'm substituting that in the ith equation, in, and then I'm substituting for xn, axn plus byn. So all I've done here is in the ith equation above, which I haven't written down, I've substituted the coordinates of that vector, which is the linear combination of the two solutions. Now, if I can rewrite this by a little algebra, this is going to be a into ai1x1 plus ainxn plus b into ai1y1 plus binyn. Right. So just a little bit of algebra to work that out. So all I've done is just expand it here to write it as a linear combination. I take a times ai1x1, and then in each of these, I'm going to take a times ainxn, so I'm going to get all that with a common factor a. And in the middle here, you see what I get is the left-hand side of one of the equations where I have substituted x1 through xn. But I know that x1 through xn is a solution, so that's 0. So this is equal to 0. So this says that this is the question. So I have to check. I want to determine whether a times this solution plus b times this solution is yes, and this actually satisfies it. So the answer in this case is yes. Okay. Are there any questions on that? So in other words, any homogeneous system of linear equations and linear combinations of solutions are solutions. So, and the zero solution is a solution, so it satisfies all the conditions for a subspace. Now here we have two kinds of subspaces. Spaces which are solution spaces of homogeneous systems of equations, and spaces which can be spanned by vectors. We're going to see that they're in fact the same. You can go back. It's like going back from normal equations to parametric equation. Like for a plane, it's an intersection of a line is in three spaces, an intersection of two planes, which is, but a line has a parametric equation. A plane is a single equation. It's a solution space of a single equation. But it can also be given parametrically. And when you look for the parametric solution, you get the spanning set. So that's how you get spanning sets from a given system of equation. You apply Gauss elimination to get a parametric description of the solution set. That gives you a spanning set, like we did in the previous example. Okay. So any questions about that? Oh, so the answer here was yes, I guess. I don't have much room. Anyway, let's go to the next page. So therefore, S is a subspace, since the linear combination of solutions is a single solution. So what the types of problems you should be able to do is find. Let me give an example of this. It's a little bit more complicated. So let's just do one more example. And let's take an example. Let's say x1 plus x2 plus x3 plus x4 equals to say 0. Now, in order to make life simple, let me give a system of equations which is a little bit already, at least in echelon form. So let me take, say x3 plus x4 equals to 0. Well, that's maybe too easy. No, that's okay. That's okay. So this is a system. I could have given you a system of, say, four equations in four unknowns, homogeneous. And applying the Gaussian elimination process, you might have gotten some equations, 0 equals 0, 0 equals 0, which you delete. Okay. So in this particular case, let me just not go through the exercise. I want to go through some things about linear dependence and independence. So let's just take an example here of two hyperplanes in 4 space. In Rn, an equation given by a single equation is called a hyperplane. It's not a plane. It would be a plane if it were 3 variables. In 4 variables, it would be called a hyperplane. A hyperplane in Rn, we'll see, has n minus 1 dimensions, because if you solve for one of the variables in terms of the others become independent variables. So you have one less degree of freedom. If you have n variables, you have n minus 1 degrees of freedom. You get a spanning set with n. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to do this. There it is. That's the numerical one. Okay. So all I've done is, instead of giving you the four things and gone through the process of Gaussian elimination to bring it to this form, let me just supposing that I've gone through the arithmetic, and now this is an example of 2 hyperplanes in R4 going through the origin. So what is the intersection? These are 2. If you look at it, each one of them, you have each of them has 3 degrees of freedom. So in other words, for the first equation, I could get a spanning set with 3 vectors in it. For the second one, I can do the same thing. Because actually, even though x1 and x2 doesn't appear, it's arbitrary. So x3 is minus x4, but x1 and x2 still can be anything. So you still have those 2 degrees of freedom. So they both are, well, we're going to come to this in the next week, the idea of dimension. We haven't got that completely solidified yet. But for now, dimension is kind of the number of degrees of freedom in your system, in your spanning set, number of degrees of freedom that you have. But we'll make that much more precise. So in this particular case, the solution set, well, I can actually make it even more simpler. The solution set is then, let me just do one more, if I subtract, let me just do one more house cleaning here. Let me just do one more bit of house cleaning. It's not quite in reduced echelon form. It's best to get it to reduced echelon form. So let me do this. Let me take equation 1, and I'm going to subtract off equation 2. So now I'm going to get x1 plus x2 equals 0, x3 plus x4 equals 0. Okay. So now our system is in reduced form because the leading variables in each equation, namely in this case x1 and x3, appear only in that equation. And then I can rewrite this as x1 equals minus x2. Now I'm solving for the leading variables in terms of the remaining variables. And now this is a recipe for finding all the solutions, just by arbitrarily prescribing the values of x2 and x4. And then that will give me, so then let me call the, usually we do this, so I'll call x2 equals s, x4 equals t, just to the fact that we're viewing them as parameters here. So therefore, solution set is then going to be the set of all vectors of the form x1. I'm going to put x2 is s and x4 is t. So I'm going to get, so if I put here x1, x2, x3, x4. So x2 is s and x4 is t. And in terms of those, I can get all the others. So x1 is going to be minus x2 or minus s, and x3 is minus x4 or minus t. And here s and t are arbitrary scalars. So therefore, there's a description of that set in R4, which is an intersection of these 2 hyperplanes. Think of these 2 things as hyperplanes. I mean, in R4, these are 2 3-dimensional things, and they're intersecting in a plane. Right? Like you have 2 cubes, and no, 2 kind of 3-dimensional, and they're intersecting in a plane. It's hard to visualize how these things, but okay. Now, I want to find a spanning set for this. I mean, we're going to show that every subspace has a spanning set. We haven't proved that yet. But in these examples, you can actually go and find it. Once you have a parametric description, you have a spanning set. So all you have to do is rewrite this thing in terms of S and T. S times one vector plus T times another vector. And basically how you get those 2 vectors is by the first one, you get it by setting S equals to 1 and T equals to 0. You'll get the first one. And the second one, you get it by setting S equals 0 and T equals 1. Why that works is because it works. You check it. Well, you can see it has to be. If you can write it this way, if this can be written in this way, then see visually, what is that linear combination on the right-hand side become minus 1, 1, 0, 0? It's precisely when S equals 1 and T equals 0. That's what exactly what it is. Okay. And then you should always verify, because it's so easy to make mistakes at this point. Just check it. You get minus S, right, and then S, and then T minus T and T. So therefore, from here, you see now the solution set consists of the span of these two vectors. These are U and V. So therefore, solution set span is equal to the span of these two vectors, minus 1, 1, 0, 0, and then 0, 0, minus 1. So everybody see how to do that? Given, if I give you a set of vectors, you should be able to find whether or not a given vector is in the subspace spanned by them. On the other hand, if I give you a homogeneous system of linear equations, you should also be able to do the same thing, which amounts to finding a parametric description of the solution set, or a spanning set in this particular case. Okay. Now, the other concepts we had last time were of linear dependence and independence. Remember, let's just recall that vectors U1, U2, UM are linearly, let's say, dependent if and only if there are scalars, say T1, TM, not all zero, such that T1 U1 plus T2 U2 plus TM UM equals zero. So for example, if you had two vectors, then they would be linearly dependent, would mean that at least one of the vectors was a scalar multiple of the other vectors. But we saw last time, this is the same thing as saying that some UI belongs to the span of the remaining vectors. The hat here means that vector is eliminated from the spanning set. Okay. So now, if you're in a plane, then if you have three vectors in a plane, then they must always be linearly dependent, because if they were linearly independent, that would mean that one of them was not a linear combination of the other two, and that would mean that they would not lie in a plane. So that's the linear dependence and independence. Let me just give you an example of a little bit more. So in other words, if I give you numerically vectors, then to determine whether or not they're linearly dependent or independent should be a relatively simple problem. So to decide, you have to just write down a linear combination of those vectors and set it equal to zero. That will give you a system of equations which you have to decide whether or not it has a zero solution, only as a non-trivial solution, a non-zero solution. And that's how you decide those problems. So basically you have all the ideas. Let me just finish with perhaps just an example of a type of problem. Well, before I go on, is there any questions about what I've done so far? Are there any other examples that you'd like to see to illustrate the concepts? You'd like to see another example on linear dependence or independence? Because we're just now basically just going through the definitions. We haven't any theory, real theory yet. This is going to come. So right now, all you have to get here are the concepts, the definitions. You have to understand them very well and be able to use them in concrete situations. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's dependent. I mean, there are strings attached. Like, if I have two vectors in a plane, okay, then all the vectors in that plane come with strings attached. I mean, right, the two strings are the two spanning things. Right? If I want to leave home, I want to become independent, so what do I do? Well, I have to go out in another direction, right? Go off in new directions. Then become independent. So if you stay in the span, you're a dependent person. If you go outside of the span, you become independent of the vector. You're not a linear combination of the vector. Basically, that's it. I mean, if you have, that's the idea. If you want a set is independent, means that
really a little bit more than that. It says that each of the vectors is independent of the others, right? That no one of them depends on the other, on the others. If you look at the space spanned by the other vectors, the other one sticks out. He's another person. He doesn't have any strings attached. You can't get to you from staying just working with those vectors, in this case taking linear combinations of those vectors. That's what you have to get the idea. And that's the best way of thinking it, is that they're linearly independent if then, so in other words, let's just finish with that then. Let's look at the contrapositive of this. This is dependence, means sum is unit. Independence means that each UI cannot be in the span. So U1, UM are linearly independent. That means they're not linearly dependent, means if and only if X1, U1 plus XN, UN. There are two ways of describing UM. Equals 0 implies that x1 equals xn equals 0, which is the same thing as saying that no ui belongs to the span of the other ones. Right. Each of the, if you take out one individual, then the set of vectors spanned by these guys does not contain the other one. He's independent person. He goes, he's off in this. And so a set is independent of each, for each I, each one of the members in that set has that property. Okay. It could happen that, for example, you could take two vectors and they could say one be a scalar multiple of the other and another one would not be. So this vector would not be a scalar multiple of these, but that one of them would be a scalar multiple of the other two because they lie in the same direction. So what you want is to be independent. Set to be independent is a rather strong condition. It means that none of them is in the space, no one vector is in the space spanned by the other. That's a little harder to check one by one. The easiest way to check that is that single condition, which is above, the x1. That's a more symmetric condition. And that's what you write down. If I give you vectors, specific numerical vectors, u1 through um, then to check whether they're linear independent or not, you just take that linear combination, set it equal to 0, and then that, you write down the corresponding system of equations. It's a homogeneous system of equations for the x's. And then you ask whether or not that system has a non-zero solution or not. And that's how you answer the question. So this idea of independence and dependence is not an easy question. We're going to struggle with it for some time. But if you understand at this point, you just have to understand the definition. If you understand the definition and have some idea of how to work with it, and to actually use it in specific situations, that's the best you can hope at this point, okay? Let me share this one.